Chapter 11. Be My Sweetie. Whenever I get a moment alone, I practice my Magles. I consider finding a secluded place in the woods, but I decide I'm still too afraid of running into a bear, or a deer, or a raccoon, or any type of animal that isn't housebroken. So I choose Plan B. Unfortunately, Plan B is using one of the bathroom stalls in our cabin. What can I say? Sure, it's slightly smelly, but it's conveniently close by, and it's the only place in camp where you can ever be truly alone. I practice my exercises on the extra roll of toilet paper sitting in the corner of the stall. Luckily, the stall doors go to the floor, so no one thinks I'm peeing like a boy. It's rest hour, and I've been practicing in here for about 10 minutes. I'm getting a bit better at it. Higher, stop. Higher, stop. Bam, bam, bam. You've been in there forever. It's not your personal bathroom. Whoops. I flush, even though I haven't done anything that requires flushing, and crack open the door. Sorry, I stop in mid-sentence. It's Liana. Why am I always apologizing to this girl? You can't hog the bathroom, she snaps. Someone has some major hostility issues. I said I was sorry. She flips her hair and then slams past me into a stall, but not the stall I vacated. And that's when I realize something weird. The other two stalls were free. Huh? Why would Liana kick me out of my stall when two were empty? Does that make any sense? Since there is still 15 minutes of rest hour left, I walk through the cubby room to our bunk, pull down my pillow, and make myself comfy on Allison's bed, my feet flat against the ladder. Poodles and Carly are playing gin rummy. Wanna play winner? Carly asks me. Kick our butts? It seems I have a knack for gin rummy. Who knew? Sure, if there's time. I've got mail, says Deb, arms full of email printouts, letters, and packages. She reads the names as she hands out the emails first. Allison, Poodles, Rachel, Carly, Poodles, Allison, Morgan, Morgan, Rachel. Fun! I get an email from Tammy, who's still dating Bosch and loving her summer babysitting job in the city, as well as an email from my dad. My dad's emails are adorable, and a wee bit illiterate since they're sent from his BlackBerry. Take today's.
Enjoying very pleasant weather. Going to conference tomorrow and will be home Monday. Played golf yesterday. Jennifer sewing on P's camp labels. She excited to see you too. Send email, RE, your goings-on, and how enjoying camp. Love you girls lots. Dad. Sent from my BlackBerry wireless handheld.
I've written him that we have no computer access. Deb prints out all the bunk's emails once a day, but the concept is obviously too foreign for him to grasp. She tosses a thick pink package onto Poodle's bed. For you, princess. I hope it's a new issue of EW, Poodle says, tearing the envelope open. Oh, good. People, too. Package for you, too, Rachel, Deb says, handing me a small padded envelope. For me? A package? I am beyond excited.
Who's it from?
Allison asks. I flip the envelope over to read the return address. Jennifer Weinstein. My stepmom, I say. That is so sweet of her. I wonder what she got me. A book? A CD? I rip open the package and find a bottle of Nair. Hair removal for the upper lip. Huh? A folded handwritten note says, Enjoy! Love, Jennifer. She did not just send me this.
You have a mustache? Morgan asks.
No, I say quickly, hiding the box behind me. I can't believe she would send me this. Is she trying to tell me something? I don't think I do. Do I? I wiggle my upper lip. Allison examines my face. I don't see one. Be honest. I swear. What a weird gift. No kidding.
Rachel, here's another letter for you, Deb says.
Thanks. I open it up and see that it's from my mom. It's your basic, I'm doing well, how are you, I miss you letter. At least I have one normal parent. Besides the whole witchcraft part.
Don't you think Harris looks like a movie star?
Poodles asks while studying her new magazine.
He's not that good looking,
says Morgan, tweezing her eyebrows in a handheld mirror.
Will, on the other hand, now there's a piece of eye candy.
What's going on with Harris? I ask Poodles. Poodles keeps her eyes on her magazine.
Stuff?
What? We all scream. Poodles smiles and shushes us with her finger to her lips.
I don't want,
she motions to 15,
them to hear.
Morgan tosses her hand mirror and tweezers onto her bed.
You'd better spill this second.
Poodles twirls a lock of her blonde hair around her long index finger.
Yesterday, during sailing,
we lean in eagerly.
We tipped the boat, and when we were in the water, he kissed me.
Oh my God, we shriek. Allison and I were sailing and we didn't even notice, I say in disbelief.
That's why Harris sent you out with Anderson and Brandon, Poodles says.
Ah, Allison says.
I didn't totally buy their training to be sailing instructors part, since they tipped us twice.
I think the tipping part was on purpose, I say. They thought it was hysterical every time we got dumped into the freezing water.
Carly was so jealous when we told her.
Can we get back to Harris, please?
Morgan whines.
If any of you breathe a word of this to anyone,
Poodles continues,
I will personally strangle you.
You'd better be careful, Allison warns.
You could get into serious trouble.
He could get fired, Carly adds. Poodles looks meaningfully around the room.
That's why you all had better keep your mouths shut. Let's change the subject.
What about you, Rachel?
Morgan asks, already back to her tweezing.
Any tongue action with Raph?
No, I say. And now I feel even worse that it's taking so long.
It's not the same, Allison says. Harris lives in Boston. It's not like they're going to turn into a serious item.
She looks at Poodles.
You're not serious about him, are you?
Me? Serious? Get serious. My longest relationship is like a week.
All they have is the summer, Allison continues. So they have to get a move on. On the other hand, you and Raph, this is not just a summer fling. This has consequences. You guys go to school together. If it doesn't work out, you'll have to avoid each other, not only for the next 4 weeks, but for the next 3 years. Raph just wants to make sure.
Makes sense, I guess.
And you know, you did date his brother,
Carly adds.
Lucky girl, grumbles Morgan.
There's always that, I sigh. I suppose so. But if Raph does make a move, what if my screwed-up magic messes it up again and makes me pop on the lights?
Maybe the problem is that we're always around, Poodle says. You need to go somewhere private. He's not going to make a move when the entire world is sitting on our porch.
Now we're talking, I say. Maybe it'll work. After all, I've been doing my Magels.
When we finish evening activity, I ask Raph if he wants to go for a walk. His eyes widen in surprise because of my brazen hussiness, and then he quickly says,
Sure. That was easy enough.
Which way should we go?
He asks. upper field? It has fewer bunks and therefore more privacy. We talk as we walk through the darkness. The night air is warm and dry. Let's go sit on the bleachers, he says, and we cross second base. He steps up to the first level and takes my hand to help me along. Zing! Hello, electricity! We climb to the top and stretch our legs onto the row below. You can see the Big Dipper, Raph says, tilting his head back. I forgot how cute his earlobe is. I have to stop myself from tugging on it. Instead, I follow his lead and look at the sky. I'd make a wish, but there are too many stars to know which one I saw first. And it's not like I need stars to make wishes. I wish we could stay at camp forever, I say anyway. It's so pretty here.
I know what you mean. A sky like this makes you wonder why you'd ever live in the city.
Because our parents force us to? He laughs.
Right, there's that. But I'd like to go somewhere cool for college.
Like where? The moonlight glows on his skin.
I don't know. Somewhere like this, in the middle of nowhere. The University of Iowa.
Why Iowa? He tilts his head down and studies his hands.
They have a great writing program.
Is that what you want to be? A writer?
I think so. What about you? What are your plans?
My only real plan at the moment is to get him to kiss me. I think I want to major in math.
Cool. Do you think you'll stay in New York?
Lately, I've been dreaming about California. Maybe I'll go to school out there. He hums the Mamas and the Papas California Dreamin', and I join in. We both laugh. Wouldn't you miss New York? I ask.
If I can make it there,
he sings. My turn. I'll make it boom, boom, anywhere. Together now. It's up to you, New York, New York.
I love that song, he says.
Me too. Oh my God, Raph and I have a song. Admit it, Raph. You'll never leave Manhattan.
I would miss it too much. And I'd miss my family. Wouldn't you?
Nah. We laugh again. Kidding. I get along with my family most of the time. Well, some of the time. But I like being on my own. I'd miss my sister, though. I tilt my head and look up at the stars.
Yeah, I could see that. If I went to Iowa, I'd miss my brothers.
You're so lucky you have brothers. I wish I had a brother. He grimaces, and I realize my glaring faux pas. I should not have mentioned the word brother. What was I thinking, bringing up Will?
Rachel, I have a question for you, he says,
heart beating quickly. Yes?
You're not. Do you still have feelings for Will?
What? No. No, no, no. Here's my chance to get it all out in the open. Actually, I wanted to tell you, Raph, that I shouldn't have dated Will after what happened with us. It must have been really weird for you. He adjusts himself on the bleachers, leaning back on his elbows.
Yeah, you could say that. But it's not your fault. I should have told him it bugged me.
It bugged him? Yay! I should have explained to you about my dad's wedding, I say in a rush. Why I had to miss spring fling. I should have... He shakes his head, waving my words away.
I should have been more understanding. I'm sure you were going through a rough time with your dad remarrying.
I was. He's so smart. We're both quiet for a minute, and then he smiles and says,
I wish I had a sister.
Really?
Better topic. It was getting a bit heavy there for a second.
Sure, it'd be cute. Your sister's a cutie.
Thanks.
She always seems so serious, like she's contemplating the fate of the world.
Poor Mary. She kind of is.
Does she like camp?
She's getting used to it. He gives me a lazy smile.
Do you like it?
I think about the lake, the stars, the fresh air, the coziness of my cabin, the fun of wearing my pajamas to Flagpole and staying up late laughing with my bunkmates. I love it.
Do you think you'll come back next year?
My left knee is only about a foot away from his right knee. As a CIT, you mean? Definitely. You?
For sure. I'm coming back until I get to be head staff.
Like Mitch?
Better than Mitch. I don't know how they put him in charge of anything.
Oh, come on. I see him with his kids. He's fun. They love him. And then there's silence. Now would be a perfect time for us to kiss.
Okay, now. Now.
So,
he says. So. We're both quiet. Blood rushes up and I'm lightheaded. He turns to look at me. His eyes are like brown paint. His fingertips lightly graze mine and my hand is on fire. He leans in close and bam! Ow! Something hits me in the forehead. I might have screamed out loud because Raf jumps up and says, Are you okay? I don't know, I say, head spinning. What was that? Have I been shot? He bends down and rolls something off the seat and into his hand.
A soccer ball.
That's what hit me?
Yeah. That was so weird. It came out of nowhere. I don't think anyone's even around.
He looks into the distance.
Hello?
He shouts.
Anyone there? Someone has to be there.
No answer. Not that I'm surprised, because I know the truth. I did it. I did it again. I jinxed myself. What is wrong with me? I touch my palm to my throbbing forehead. I don't feel so good. He places his hand on top of mine.
It must have really hurt. Let me take you to the infirmary.
No, not the infirmary. That place is right out of a horror movie. He laughs.
Dr. Dina is cool. Don't worry. I won't leave you.
Promise?
Promise. I'll protect you from the boogeyman.
It's not the boogeyman I'm scared of. It's an out-of-control witch. Me. Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand. Allison pats me on the head during the national anthem. Poor Rachel. Poor me, I echo. Woe is me. It's the next morning, and I'm standing at Flagpole with a massive bluish bruise on my forehead. I'm hideous.
You are not. You can barely see it. We'll cover it with some makeup, and presto, it'll be gone.
I've already covered it with makeup. This is post-makeup. Sob.
Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just.
The only silver lining in this misadventure was that Raf proved to be a total sweetheart when the going got tough. He paged Dr. Dina for me, then sat with me for 45 minutes before I was told that I was concussion-free. I spot him across the circle and give him a tiny, my head still hurts wave. He makes a sad face and waves back.
Did you get the kiss at least? Allison asks.
I'd shake my head, but it hurts too much. No. Or the land of the free and the home of the brave. I've never seen any two people have so many problems hooking up, she says. You guys are cursed.
Walk, don't run, to the dining hall, Anthony orders.
And I'm the one doing the cursing. I spend the next few days pressing ice packs against my forehead and practicing my Magles. I even practice Magling the ice pack, but stop after I accidentally drop it on my forehead, which gives me another headache. But despite the ice pack dropping, I'm getting better at it. Really, Mary thinks I'm getting better too. We agree to meet at 2 in the morning, this time in the mess hall.
Why here?
Mary asks when I show up 10 minutes late. More places to hide if we have to. She yawns.
We should do this during the day.
Get with the program, Missy. We can't meet during the day. We'll be seen. She rests her cheek against the table.
So? Big deal.
Is she crazy? Hello. Do you want the entire world to know you're a witch?
What's the difference?
People will treat you like a freak. She closes her eyes.
They already treat me like a freak.
My heart breaks a little. Still?
I don't care if they like me or not. It's not like I miss popularity in the city. But the girls in my bunk are so obnoxious. Whatever. They're really not worth my time.
Maybe you should put a like spell on them or something.
I don't like playing with people's feelings. You know that.
She snaps her eyes open and sits up straight.
But if they knew I was a witch, they wouldn't mess with me. They wouldn't dare. They'd be too scared of me.
Her eyes glow in the dark. At the moment, I'm a little scared of her, too.
Obviously, you need to find someplace even more secluded, Allison says.
She lobs the tennis ball over the net. I would love to hit it back to her, but unfortunately I can't get my racket to connect with the ball. I also can't get my lips to connect with Raph's. In the past few days, despite my attractive purple forehead, Raph has wanted to spend time with me. But even so, we can't seem to make the lip connection. For instance, there was a time we were swimming in GS, and as soon as he made the lean, a humongous wave knocked him over.
Where does a wave come from? We were in a lake.
Go to the lookout,
Poodle screams from one court over, where she's playing with Carly. I bend down to pick up the ball and try to position myself the way that Lenny, the tennis instructor, showed me.
Where's the lookout?
Allison approaches the net and points to the path behind the tennis shack.
About halfway up the mountain, just follow that path. It's like a 10-minute walk. It's private and really romantic, Poodles tells us, then hits her ball into the net.
Damn, what's wrong with me today?
Carly waves her racket over her head.
Why don't you try concentrating on the game?
Rachel,
Poodles continues.
Just tell him you heard it's nice and ask him to show you the way.
Wait a sec. You think he already knows where it is?
Who exactly has he been going up there with?
Allison laughs.
Oh, relax. We all used to go up there as kids.
I just don't know if I can try again. I mean, why do I have to keep setting it up? If he likes me, shouldn't he try to set it up, too?
Oscar! Oscar! Oscar!
Oscar steps out of the kitchen and bows to his cheering fans in the dining hall.
Oscar! Oscar! Oscar!
Apparently, every time the camp chef makes his famous lasagna for dinner, we give him a standing ovation.
Oscar! Oscar! Oscar!
He waves to the adoring crowd and then disappears back into the kitchen. What can I say? The lasagna is delicious. I help myself to a third serving.
Hey, Rach,
says Raff, strolling up to our table.
Do you want to go on a hike during free play?
Hike? I'm not much of a hiker. Poodles kicks me under the table. Where are you going to hike? Raff's cheeks turn red.
I was thinking about the lookout.
Aha! The lookout! Yes! He wants to make out. It's about time. Sounds fun, I say. The make-out part, anyway. Not the hiking part. Maybe tonight will be the lucky night?
Great. I'll swing by your bunk to get you.
Yes! You stack, Rachel! Everyone screams. Huh? I look up to see fingers on noses. Damn. Missed the ball on that one. Not bad, though. My record is pretty good. I've stacked only 7 times all summer. Morgan's at 23. Poodles has never stacked. She's like the world's best freezer, and she's always the first one to spot Pig. After a watermelon dessert, I quickly toss the plates and then rush back to my bunk to prepare. First, I brush my teeth. Oscar is quite liberal with the garlic in his lasagna. Then I rush past Cece into the cubby room and debate. What does one wear on a make-out hike? Do I aim for cute or athletic? I put on my shortest black shorts and a bright green top. Then I temporarily remove my top and put on another layer of deodorant, just in case. Not too sure about making out, but I know that hiking can get vigorous. I model for Allison, who's lying in her bed. How do I look? Spectacular. Did you put on your bug spray? Not tonight. I need to smell delicious, not like eau de off. Well, hike 'em dead. Thanks. You okay? Her face looks kind of pale. Yeah, she says, rubbing her temples. I have a tiny headache. You'd better rest up. I heard that tonight's evening activity is capture the flag. Will do. She pulls her covers over her shoulders. Have fun. I pass Morgan on the porch, and she wishes me good luck. From the steps, I watch Raff climb the hill.
Ready?
He asks. Let's go. Side by side, we walk to the tennis courts and then toward the shack.
There are steps right behind here, he says.
Great. We chit-chat up the hill. Maybe hiking isn't such a good idea. I'm already all sweaty. Even my hands are sweaty. Or maybe that's just nerves. I almost trip over a rock, but Raff catches my arm and steadies me. We keep walking. Are we there yet? We walk some more. Now are we there yet? I don't ask since I don't want to be the annoying kid in the back of the car. This is the longest 10-minute walk I've ever been on.
Want some water?
Raff asks, waving a bottle. Finally, our mouths shall make contact. Though indirectly via a water bottle. I take a sip and pass it back to him. Thanks. We walk a few more minutes before he gestures to a ledge and announces,
Here it is.
Whoa. I knew we were coming to a lookout, but I didn't realize how much of one. I look down from the ledge. The entire camp is laid out below us like an oil painting. The bunks, the lake, the mountains, the woods. And the sun is setting over the lake, turning it a fiery shade of red.
Wow. Nice, huh?
Beautiful. He reaches over and takes my hand. This is perfect. I'm so glad this will be the spot for our first real kiss. So what if I'm sweaty and my hands are clammy? It's beautiful, and we're alone, and there's a sunset. He turns away from the view to look at me, and then, still holding my hand, he leans toward me. Now, now, now. He closes his eyes. I close my eyes and feel his breath on my face. And that's when I hear the buzzing. What the? Bzz, bzz, bzz. I open my eyes to see a cluster of bees above our heads. You've got to be kidding. Raph's eyes flutter open and then widen to the size of tennis balls when he sees the tornado of insects around our heads. We jump apart. He starts swatting the air, which can't be a good idea. They start stinging. Ouch! 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 My neck, my arms, my legs. Raph's neck, Raph's arms, Raph's legs. What did I do? How did I manage that? I need the bees to stop. Stop! Stop! They're not stopping. I knew the woods were dangerous. I need a spell. Yes, a spell! I scream, stupid annoying bees, it's time for you to freeze! It suddenly gets cold. The buzzing comes to a halt and the bees fly away. Ow, ow, ow. Don't cry in front of Raph. Don't cry in front of Raph.
That was so weird,
he says, his face white.
And painful. Did they get you?
I lift my swollen arms and swallow my tears.
Yeah.
He lifts his swollen arms.
Me too. What did you say to those bees?
Huh? Oh no, my hands get even sweatier. This could be bad, really bad. What if he figures out I'm a witch? Or even worse, what if he thinks I'm a weirdo who talks to insects?
You screamed something at the bees about them being annoying, but I couldn't hear too well because of that buzzing.
Phew! I was just scared. That's all, I say. And the next thing I know, I start crying.
Aw, poor Rachel, he says, putting his arm around me. This sucks, huh? I think they got my earlobes, too.
As the tears pour down my cheeks, I see that his adorable earlobes now resemble oversized cherries. I start laughing. I can't help it. It's too ridiculous. And now Raph is laughing, too. And I know just what will make our pain go away. A kiss. A big, fat, juicy.
And one of the bastards nailed my lip,
he adds.
Of course it did.
Kiss postponed. Yet again. Raph and I return to the infirmary. This is the second time in a week that I've been here. Witchcraft can be hazardous, that's for sure. While we're sitting on the bench outside waiting for Dr. Dina, I declare that I should just move in.
Ow, stop making me laugh,
Raph says.
It hurts.
It hurts to move. My hands and arms are already starting to look like I've got a bad case of chicken pox. The only good thing about this bee disaster is that it's kind of like announcing to the whole camp that we're an item. You can't get any more obvious than matching bee stings from the lookout. Teehee, it's like getting matching tattoos or hickeys or, dare I say, wedding rings. If only we were an item. Now I have to wait for his lip to heal before we can seal the deal. Hello, annoying. I wonder if there's a heal and seal spell in Miri's A squared. Have you ever been stung before? I ask.
No. You?
Yes. It hurt this time, too. He laughs.
Ow! I told you to stop doing that.
Attention all campers and counselors. Attention all campers and counselors. It is now the end of free play. Please proceed to your evening activity. Koalas to upper field, monkeys to the rec hall, and lions to the gym.
We're going to miss the activity, I say.
It's okay. Someone will tell them where we are.
A few minutes later, Dr. Dina pokes her head out the door.
She looks surprised to see us.
You again?
Me again.
I might insist that you start wearing a helmet.
Hardy har har.
And you too? She asks Raff.
Yup.
She studies our stings.
They got you good. What did you do? Kick a hive?
Not exactly.
Sure looks like it. I've never seen so many stings. Good thing you're not allergic.
Raff sighs.
Lucky us.
After scraping out the stingers with a scary-looking metal blade, Dr. Dina washes the affected areas, gives us each ibuprofen and ice packs, and then asks us if we want to call our parents. We both nod. Now that I'm in pain, I kind of miss my mom. She'd know how to make it stop. She'd at least know a spell that would make it stop. I go first. Ring, ring, ring.
Hi, you've reached Carol, Rachel, and Miri. We can't come to the phone right now.
I hang up. I don't want to leave a message. It will just worry her.
Can I try my dad?
I ask Dr. Dina.
Of course, she says.
My dad doesn't answer either. I try to swallow the lump that's lodged itself in the back of my throat. My parents aren't exactly at home pining for us, are they? Raff goes next, and of course his parents are home and thrilled to hear from him, bee stings and all. For the first time all summer, I feel a wave of homesickness. I miss my mom and my dad, my room, my non-lumpy bed. I even miss my mom's cooking. Okay, not really. But I do miss the sound of her voice. Once Raff is done, the doctor sends us on our way. Our slow way, since we can barely walk. Halfway up the hill, we bump into Mitch.
I was just looking for you,
he says.
Me?
Raff asks.
Why? Everything's okay. I just spoke to Mom and Dad.
Not you. Rachel. Her counselors are wondering where she is.
He notices our ailments.
What happened to you guys? Why'd you call the rents?
We had a run-in with some bees,
Raff says.
Ouch. Listen, Rachel, you'd better head straight to your bunk.
Why? What about capture the flag? Raff raises his swollen arm.
I don't think we're playing capture the anything in our condition,
he says.
Forget capture the flag, Mitch says. Go to your bunk. I just came from an emergency head staff meeting.
What happened?
One of the girls in your bunk is being sent home.
What? I scream. Who? Why? He shakes his head.
The tall one.
The tall one? That's all he can tell me? Oh, no. Oh, no. It must have been Poodles. She got caught with Harris. I ignore my aching body and, clinging to my ice packs, sprint back to my bunk, hoping with all my heart it's not true.